Welcome back to Unexpected Adventures in North Alabama, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network. And today's episode is all about the Tasha Hill Band, and I have with me lead singer Tasha Hill, who is an Alabama singer-songwriter, and she released her debut album, 40 Miles, back in 2021. So thank you so much for being here today, Tasha.
Thank you so much for having me, Malia. It's good to be here.
Yeah, I am so excited. Ever since I asked you way back in September to be on the podcast, I'm excited that we're finally doing this.
Yes, I am too, and I'm just thrilled. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, tell us a little bit about yourself before we get started.
Yeah, Malia, well, I'm a singer-songwriter from Florence, Alabama, and my family and I, we play music together, my brother Josh and Caleb. Josh, he's a wonderful guitarist and singer, and my brother Caleb, he's a percussionist, and we write and sing songs and travel, and that's what we love to do, and it's so much fun as a family, you know, having that dynamic and going out on the road, going to different cities and getting that experience in, and it's a beautiful journey. It really is. Yeah.
I think it's so cool that it's you and your brothers. That's so neat. So tell us about your musical journey. How did you get started?
Yeah, so music has always been a big part of my life growing up. Of course, our parents, Billy and Tina, they raised us in church. So, you know, in church, music is a big part of, you know, that heritage. And I just remember as a young child just being inspired by the worship and just how it made me feel. And it made me feel so good and so comforted. And I remember also Dad teaching us our first guitar chords on the guitar. And Mom, she loved to sing around the house. And Mom has such a beautiful voice. And so my brothers, they played guitar actually before I started picking up an instrument. So we were always surrounded by music, whether it be at church or at home, listening to the radio, playing cassette tapes. Just always surrounded by music and very fortunate for that. I remember my brothers and I, we had a playroom at the house and we'd go down there and we'd jam out, I mean, to like Chuck Berry and like the Supremes and Jerry Lee Lewis. And we just had the best of times doing that. And I think probably when I really realized that this is really what I wanted to do, I remember my grandmother, she had taken me to an outdoor revival in Waterloo, Alabama. And so she had me to get up and sing. She had asked the pastor if it'd be okay if I could get up and sing a song. And of course, he allowed that. And so the song that I sang was Jesus Loves Me. And there was something that happened in that moment. Mm-hmm. And I knew that it was such a deep connection to my spirit. And I knew that this is what I want to do. And so I was four. And so it was a very beautiful moment. It's so cool, like how everything's evolved musically and on the journey. And it really is a journey. And, but yeah, that's how we got our start. And, you know, churches would call us up and ask us to, you know, sing at their homecoming or, you know, of course I was on the praise team and I love doing that as well. And it's just neat how it just kind of snowballed from there.
Yeah. Oh, that is so cool. You were 4 years old and so brave to get up and sing in front of everyone.
Oh girl, I was nervous. I was. But it was just like, I remember holding the microphone and looking out and there was just, you know, to me, it seemed like a whole, you know, sea of people, but it was just a handful of people. But I just remember holding that microphone and looking out and I was like, this is it. Like this, aww. I felt so called to do that. So very special.
Yeah, that is so neat to have that moment so young. That's so cool.
Yeah.
So how did you find your sound and your style? Like how did you know what kind of music that you wanted to do?
Well, I grew up listening to all types of genres from rock and roll, obviously gospel, country, you know, classic rock, you know, the oldies. I wouldn't say like it wasn't like one day I just found out who I was as an artist or my sound. Yeah. I think it was an evolution. It was definitely a process because I think with anything that, you know, that you love, it's kind of like a trial and error and you just kind of explore and you're in that creative zone. So for me, that's how I feel like I discovered myself and my sound was just through exploration and, you know, just trying different things and, feeling what felt real to me. And that's one thing that my dad has always, encouraged me in my life, is to be real and mm-hmm. to be myself and stay true to my heart, stay true to myself. And music is such a spiritual thing. And it's almost like a chill bump factor whenever you know this is it. To me, that's how, like, I know this is my path. This is my sound. This is who I am as an artist. It's such a knowing, like, within my spirit. So it was definitely an evolution of a lot of hours in the practice room, a lot of, overcoming, like, things like, shyness and stuff, like getting out in front of an audience, but also feeling that sense of empowerment to being in front of an audience, because, like, I know that I was called to do that. So it's such a magical process. It really is.
That's cool to hear about, that evolution, that process that you went through to kind of find that style. How do you think growing up in North Alabama influenced your sound?
That's a really good question. I've been very fortunate to grow up in North Alabama. And as you know, there's so many like legends and legendary studios here. And so as a young teenager, I was able to work with the best of the best in the area that's worked on many countless amazing records, like classic records. And, being surrounded by such legendary musicians that are passionate about their craft and they're passionate about the quality of their work, that definitely influenced me, especially in the studio. And also having that leeway to just be creative and let the session take on a life of its own, because it's great to have structure in music, just like a song, there's a verse and there's a chorus and there's a bridge and there's an instrumental. It's great to have structure, but it's also great to be able to be in that creative zone and let the song take on a life of its own too. So I did learn that in the studio, working with so many great musicians and songwriters. So very fortunate, very blessed.
Yeah, we've got a lot of legendary studios in the Muscle Shoals area. There's Fame and Muscle Shoals Sound and Cypress Moon Studios. And I know I've mentioned this on another podcast, like when you Google world famous studios, like the Muscle Shoals studios pop up.
Oh yeah.
Like it's just all over the place. People come from all over the place to visit and to learn those stories. So what's it been like to record in some of those iconic studios?
You know, Malia, when I recorded in those studios, I didn't really realize all the history and all the heritage that was there, obviously.
Yeah.
Like the legends that, I'm going to refer to in here is like Spooner Oldham and Donnie Fritz and Jim Bebop Evans, and Roger Clark, and so many more. They were like family friends, and it's like, I didn't really look at them as like legends. They're family friends and people that, inspire me to do better as an artist, and someone that is a sounding board for me to ask questions to about the music industry. And so it wasn't like, oh my gosh, I just walked into this legendary studio. It was more like a big family to me. Yeah. And I look at that now, knowing what I know now, it's such a cool thing to look back on that and to still, do recording there in those studios. And it's such an honor. Just the humility too that these legends have shown me over the years is quite incredible. It's something to look at their accomplishments, but it's also, there's something to be said about how they carry themselves. And so that definitely left a wonderful mark on me as an artist, because humility goes so far. And it's such a great experience. And I miss a lot of them because a lot of them have already passed on. And it's like, gosh, there's such a hole that's missing in the Muscle Shoals heart, because they were like, the founding guys of the Muscle Shoals sound. So, and also wonderful women that also contributed to the Muscle Shoals music scene. So it's just about making every day count, making every moment count, and enjoying those friendships while we have each other and in life and what really matters.
Yeah. And that's some cool insight to hear. And it kind of, makes it clear why so many people would come to Muscle Shoals to record. Like so many famous artists would come, you know, to a really small town to record their songs. But, yeah. you know, I'm sure they felt like you, like it was a big family, that it was just,
yeah.
you know, they were just walking in to friends and family and let's sit down and make some music. So that's right. really cool.
It is cool. And then like, you know, like after a session, like we'll go, you know, eat at a diner, like some, you know, hole in the wall diner. And it's just so cool. You know, you sit there and you're having, you know, a sandwich and, you know, and Spooner's talking about Janis Joplin playing on her Pearl album. And, you know, it's like, wow, you know, it's just like, it's so cool.
Yeah.
But I just love the humility part too. It's refreshing.
Yeah. Oh, I bet those guys have some stories to tell though. You could just sit for hours, like, tell me more.
Exactly. Like, I love it. It's like a treasure trove of just like all of this insight into, I mean, Janis Joplin is definitely one of my, you know, music idols. And so it's like I said, it's like this treasure trove of all of this music history, you know, and it's amazing.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
Well, we mentioned earlier that you just released 40 Miles, and I heard you tell some of the stories about that when I saw you perform at Third Friday in Decatur. So tell us how you were inspired to write some of those songs.
Okay. So 40 Miles, I love to tell this story. Obviously, every song that's on 40 Miles are songs that I wrote with my dad, Billy. Mm-hmm. And I remember this so vividly. So my dad and mom, they'd go out for a drive, you know, we live out in the country. So it's nice to go out for a, you know, a country drive, you know what I'm saying? It's like so peaceful and you just get to recharge. And so they came back from a drive and dad told me, he came through the door and he's like, Tasha, I've got a hook. And I said, okay, what is it? And he said, 40 miles west of Little Rock, not a penny to my name. And I looked at dad, I said, let's write this. So, so anyway, I grab my acoustic, dad grabs his acoustic. We go to the front room of the house and I'm sitting there on the floor. He's sitting there in his chair and this melody comes to my mind. I'm sitting there and of course I'm tuned down a half step on my acoustic and, you know, so I'm, you know, strumming a D flat chord. And dad's like, I like that. I love that melody. He said, let's go with that. And so I'd say about an hour or less, we had that song finished. And wow. I love that. And I love that process with dad. And I've always said this, writing with dad is like writing with my best friend. I can just be myself. He can be himself. It's like a really great place to just create. So that's how 40 Miles came about. And
that's my favorite song.
Oh, really? Awesome. I'm glad you like it. I love that song. Thank you. It is a tough chick song. I like to say it's like a tough chick song. Very empowering. And, you know, it's like when life kicks you down, like you can get right back up. Right. So, and then like another favorite. And then like another favorite of mine is John. And I love John. This is probably my all-time favorite because it's about my grandparents, Johnny Lee and Hazel. Mm-hmm. And Johnny Lee and Hazel were my dad's parents, and they were sharecroppers. And they sharecropped in Waterloo. They had eight beautiful children. Dad was third in the lineup. So after a long day of picking cotton, they would come home and Papa, he loved to play the harmonica, and Mama, she loved to sing. And her favorite group was Mother Maybelle Carter and the Carter family. Mm-hmm. And so she would sing those Mother Maybelle Carter songs, and Grandpa would play his harmonica, and all the children would just gather around and listen and sing along as their parents would play and sing. And I love that. I remember telling Dad, like, I love you telling these stories. I love to hear these stories. Like, don't ever stop telling me these stories. It never gets old to me. And so Dad came up with this idea. He came down from Carolina because our roots go back to Carolina. And so it was like one morning and I just bring my acoustic. I mean, Dad is like this great lyricist and I feel like I contribute musically and also lyrically, but he's so great at starting a song and just continuing through it. And so we get John started and it was such a beautiful process because we were able to delve into how they met, how they fell in love, mm-hmm. the words that they would speak to each other. And of course, Grandpa, he passed before Mama did, years mm-hmm. before. And it was so beautiful just to weave their love story into a song. And mm-hmm. I always feel so close to them whenever I sing this song on stage or if I'm just in my room singing it. I feel so close to them. I didn't ever get to meet my granddad, but my aunt had posted a video that she had recorded years and years ago. It was a family video, and I saw him playing the harmonica and Mama singing along, and I cried like a baby. And I was like, ooh. Wow, this is so incredibly like moving and beautiful.
Yeah.
And just to see the way that they looked at each other. And I was like, that is true love right there. Yeah. You know, it's one thing to hear about it, but when you actually see it, it's like, mm-hmm. wow, like there is no denying that. Like they yeah. totally were in love with each other. And Mama, she was an incredible human being and one that held that standard for me, you know, as a woman and mm-hmm. A woman of faith. And I always loved to sing with Mama. Me and my brothers, we would go up there and we'd bring our acoustic guitars at her house and we'd play and sing. And those are some of the most fondest memories that I have with her is yeah. connecting with her on that level. And of course, hearing her stories and just being with her, it was such a special time. And I think whenever you're a kid, you don't really realize how special those moments are until you get to, you know, be a little bit older and you realize yeah. how precious time really is.
Yes.
But I keep a photo of her on my vanity. So I actually have it on my vanity right now as we're aww. Doing this podcast. And it's just, I love just being connected in that way. And so she was an incredible lady.
Yeah. I love that you were like, this story has to be told in a song.
Oh yeah.
It's so beautiful.
I love it. I love, thank you. I love stories. And I just feel like as a writer, I just feel like that's my element too. I love to put melody with a story and take the listener to another place other than where they're at right now. And yeah. it's like an adventure that we go on together. And I love that.
Yeah. Well, another one of your songs, Anna, is kind of a dark kind of story. Do you want to talk about the inspiration behind that song?
Sure. So I wrote Anna when I was 18, and I love Westerns. I don't know if you're a big Western film fan, but I love, you know, like John Wayne and Clint Eastwood. Like, I could watch those all day. Like,
yeah.
they're so much fun. So I just remember I got in the music room and I had my acoustic guitar and I don't know, it's like as a writer, you just start to visualize this story unfold. And so mm-hmm. as that's happening, like I'm jotting down the lyrics as fast as I can, because when inspiration hits, like you just have to get on it or you're going to lose yeah. it. So I had to get on it real quick. And I remember playing it for Dad and Mom after I had finished writing it. And they were like, that is awesome. Of course, Dad, he helped me finesse the lyrics and, you know, as he would say, clean it up a bit. And yeah, like, you know, just make it, you know, everything fit yeah. uniform. And so it's a very dark song. It's about obviously these two sisters and they come from a background of poverty. And her oldest sister, you know, is in a predicament. And her youngest sister obviously is trying to help her get out of that predicament that she's in. Mm-hmm. And so her oldest sister takes it into her hands and takes care of the situation. I don't want to give too much detail. Yeah. Everybody go yeah, and
you
listen,
have to, listen
it.
To the song, people.
Listen to the song. Yeah. Listen to the song. I don't want to ruin it. But it's really about family. At the end of the day, it's about family sticking up for each other and just kind of like how it was out west. So I really mm-hmm. wanted to capture that, not only like how it was out west where back maybe like in the 1800s, maybe early 1900s, and capture that and take, because it really took me there. I really felt like I was there. I was there in that saloon and I was there, mm-hmm. you know, witnessing all of this stuff happen and how Etta was taking care of Anna. Etta, obviously the oldest sister and, mm-hmm. you know, Anna the baby. it's such a beautiful thing. And Malia, I don't know if you have siblings or not. Do you have siblings?
I had a sibling. He's passed away a few years ago.
Oh, Malia, so. I'm so sorry.
Thank you. Thank
I'm so
you.
Sorry. I had no idea. But there's something protective about a sibling. Like you want to protect them. And so I really wanted to convey that in the song because as we know, like growing up with siblings, like we want to protect them and watch over them. And so I really wanted to capture that within the song.
Yeah, I really feel like you did because it sounded, I mean, personal, you know, because I listened to it, I thought, oh goodness, is this something that, you know, she has experienced, you know, I mean, it really sounded like you were in that story. So,
yeah, I feel like there's some topics that most people don't want to talk about. And I think domestic violence is one of those things that it's kind of like a touchy subject, but you know, you hear these stories over the years and if you're like me, you watch, you know, like real life stories on TV too. Yeah. And it's like, gosh, you can just sit there and just feel that emotion. You can feel that hurt. Mm-hmm. You can feel that pain. And so that obviously is another thing that I wanted to convey through the song. And I mean, I've been very fortunate not to, you know, experience anything like that, but, you know, hearing stories throughout my life from other people and, you know, seeing, you know, real stories and watching real stories, it's, I mean, it's a real thing and it's deep. It's something that most people, like I said, don't really want to talk about, you know, for obvious reasons. It's a very deep thing and very touchy, but it doesn't detract that it's real. You know, it happens. So
well, you definitely conveyed that story very well through the song. So
well, thank you.
So what is your ultimate goal with your music? Where do you want to end up in your career?
I've always said, when I started doing music, I always wanted to go for the gusto. That's my goal. I want to travel the world. I want to see the world and I want to, you know, do great things and obviously be in God's will. And that's very important to me. Mm-hmm. But ultimately I want to write and perform music that touches people's lives, that touches their heart and that connects with them. And I want to do music for the rest of my life and let it take on a life of its own because I've been so like blown away by how 40 Miles was received like with Rolling Stone and, you know, Matt Wake. I've got to get a shout out to Matt Wake with AL.com. he's been so supportive of my music for years. And even like when I've written with John Oates and recorded with him and Matt would write articles about that and get my opinions on things. And it's just really important to, you know, give thanks to those that support you along the way. Cause I mean, I couldn't do this without, you know, by myself. Like I couldn't do it without my family. I couldn't do it without God and obviously our fans and, you know, our friends. And there's just so much more that goes into it. It's a team effort. So obviously, I want to go for the gusto and travel and tour the world and keep recording music. And that's what I want to do and always stay true to myself. And, you know, that's very important to me and just have a career in it long term. And I love it. Music to me, music is life. Music is breath to me. It's just like I can breathe, you know, it's like that's what it feels to me. And it's so healing. And there's been so many people that we've met along the journey that have been touched by our music. And I can't count the number of times, like after shows, like people would just say, I just feel the love of God from y'all. I don't know who you are, but there's just something about y'all. Like we were at South by Southwest in Austin, Texas a couple of years ago. And we're going to be showcasing there again next year. I'm so excited about that. I love Austin, love South by Southwest. It's great. It's like the world's largest, you know, music festival. And there was this gentleman and he was like from Norway. Had no clue who we were, me and my brothers, Josh and Caleb. He's like, I can feel God's love from y'all. That's really to me what it's all about at the end of the day. But yeah, I definitely want us to create music that heals and inspires and touches people's lives. That's the goal. So,
And it's comments like that that make you think, okay, this is exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. It's confirmation.
It is confirmation. Cool.
Well, thank you so much for being here and tell our listeners where they can find you on social media so that they can keep up with where you're performing next.
Of course. Thank you for having me, Malia. So your listeners, they can find us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube at Tosha Hill Music, TOSHAHILL Music. And our website is www.toshahill.com. So we have all of our show dates listed there. And we want to keep y'all up to date. So we're in the beginning stages of working on our next record. And so really excited about that. So I would love for your listeners to, you know, be in the know about that as well. And yes. I really hope they've enjoyed our conversation. I know I have. This has been wonderful.
Me too. And make sure that you listen on Apple Music, Spotify. I know today I've worn Spotify out listening to prepare for today. So make sure you check out those two platforms as well to hear Tosha Hill's music. Yes. Well, thank you again. I enjoyed it.
Oh, girl, this has been so much fun. Thank you for having me.
Yes. Well, North Alabama's social platforms are linked in the description. Thanks for joining us today, and we'll be back next time with more about North Alabama adventures.